Turn in your Bible to Philemon. Philemon. There in the New Testament, right after the book of Titus, right before the book of Hebrews. I have spoken on this subject quite a few times and even here, but as I was preparing, the Lord just quickened to me to do this again, because, you know, we always have to put ourselves in remembrance, right? And then, of course, you saw hands of some new folks that are here, and I think these are things that we have to constantly remind ourselves. I know I need to keep myself reminded of these things. I know that back in March, when we took our mission, took one of our teams from Rhema here, and we went to Nigeria, four churches that I ministered in, three of them, and this was my subject, in fact, and preached on this, and just, I enjoy talking about this because I think, you know, it helps us understand God's original intent and then what Jesus did to set that back in the right place. But let's start with Philemon, if you will. Chapter 1, we're going to read verses 4, 5, and 6. I'm reading from the King James Bible. It says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of your love. I'll take a little King James out. Hearing of your love and faith, which you have towards the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Now look here at verse 6. That the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Notice that phrase, the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now that's not necessarily our topic tonight, but how many of you know it's good to be in Christ? If you're born again, Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are in Christ. Amen. But God didn't send Jesus just to get Christ in us. Kind of get ahead of myself here. He came to get, or for us to get in Christ, he came to get us in Christ. And Christ in us. It's a dual working. Now he says the communication. What does that mean? Well, if you look up the words there as it's used, it means our partnership, our fellowship. The partnership and the fellowship of our faith. Not just communicating our faith, but what is our partnership and fellowship? You know, faith is our partner. Do you realize that? It's our partner. It is the avenue through which God has given us to obtain what grace has provided. For by grace, are you saved through faith? Notice that grace provides the salvation, but faith reaches out and receives what grace has provided. It's just like picking, you know, if you had an apple tree in your yard and the apples grew on the tree, you might say, well, I planted the tree, but yeah, that was all God's plan, right? The apple tree was his deal. You go back to Genesis chapter 1. Well, but in order to partake of the apple, you've got to reach up and take hold, right? Well, in the Bible, that's called faith. Taking hold of what God has already provided. And how many of you know our God provides more than enough? Amen. Then it says the effectual, that our faith may become effectual. That word, if you look it up, means to be active and energized. Glory to God, we're supposed to have active faith. Energized faith. That means it's alive, glory to God. It's working, it's doing something. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's an active hearing, not just I haven't. It didn't say faith comes by having heard. It's by hearing and hearing continually, continual, to be active and energized. And then I like this one. The acknowledging means to a recognizing and knowing that which is true. Recognizing and knowing that which is true. How many of you know Romans 3:4 says, let God be true and every man a liar? Well, that would include Tad, too. That includes you. If I'm believing something, I'm saying something, I've got something in my life that doesn't line up with the Word of God, that's the lie. God is true. That's why we don't ever base our faith, don't ever base our beliefs on things that happen, on our experiences. Thank God for experiences in God. But I'm not going to base my doctrine, my belief system, my faith on my experience or your experience, even though it can encourage my faith. But faith is based on the Word of God because it is the truth. It never changes. Amen. Now, you know, when you tell people the Bible talks about God never changes, they say, well, no, wait a minute. There's times in the Bible that God did change. He changed when the people changed. Remember he told the king, Hezekiah, get your house in order, king, you're going to die. Right? But the king repented. And then God sent the prophet right back in. He wasn't even out of the courtyard yet. Sent him right back in. All right, tell him I've heard his prayer. I'll give him 15 more years. Now, wait a minute, God, you said he was going to die. I'm not going back in there. No, the man changed. Sometimes, you know, God speaks to us and he tells us what's going to happen if nothing changes. Amen. Something to think on. But the revelation of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus is a key to winning in life. Knowing the good things. Now, I want you to notice it didn't say acknowledging all your shortcomings, all your failures. Acknowledge every way that you don't add up. Find out all those things that you're not good at and go to work on. Now, that's the world's way of doing things. I know I was in the airport in Amsterdam one time traveling to East Africa there and traveling. I was in the bookstore and I was looking at different books. It wasn't even in the Christian, it was in the business section. And there was a book there on maximizing your strengths. And it talked about how better results come when everybody acts according to what they're strong in and maximizes those things. Not that there aren't things that we grow in, not that there aren't things that, you know. How many of you have ever taken one of those tests that tries to tell you who you are, but 2 years from now you're not that? Right? So don't ever let those things box you in, and don't you ever box anybody in based on those things. But yet, God has given us all strength. We would call them gifts, anointings, endowments from God, the charismas of God. And when we act on those things, when I act on what God's made me strong in, and you act on what God's made you strong in, we're going to get the job done. So you don't need to be like me. Be like God made you. Now, that doesn't give us the license just to be weirdos. You know what I mean by that? Like Pastor Bill and I were talking the other day, you know, whatever you call people, you know, we call them, charismatics or charismaniacs. He said he'd heard that term. Well, now, brother, the Bible says we're peculiar people. That doesn't mean weird. Look it up. That means a set aside, sanctified people. Yeah, we are to be different than the world. Yes. But that doesn't mean we have to be weird. Amen. That's not my, you know, I'd say like Pastor, that wasn't in my notes. That was free. Anyway, but let's go on. So here's the thing. Jesus came. We're talking about what's in us. Jesus came that we might have the life of God in us, just as God did in Adam in the beginning. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, please. Genesis, the second chapter. Here in Genesis 1 and 2 especially, we see the plan of God for mankind. God has not deviated from this plan. You know, God made us in his image. After his likeness are we made. The Bible says, God, he created him, male and female, created he them. Mankind is a term that means the male and the female. Mankind is a genderless term. God made man, mankind, male and female, created he them. And he gave us, he told us to be blessed, he told us to have dominion, to oversee things. But then it drops down in chapter 2, he gives a little more detail, and gets to verse 7, Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God formed man out of this earth that he created. That's why, you know, the earth is not evil, but it is operating under the curse of man's sin. God created us out of the dust of this earth, created man. But notice that the man was not what you'd say alive, it was just a body. And the Bible says God breathed into his nostrils the breath of what? Life. And man became a living soul. Now, I want you to do something. I want you to take your hand. Hopefully, your breath's all right tonight. But I want you to breathe into your hand. Now, when you did that, hopefully, if you're breathing, you felt something, right? Where did what you feel come from? Came from inside of you. So what God did was took from what was in him and put it in to that body, and that is called the life of God. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Just like when you breathed out, what was in you came out. When God breathed into man, he took what was in him and put it in his creation. And man became a living soul. But then man sinned, right? And when that happened, when man sinned against God's command, he lost his union to the life of God. He didn't die physically. His body was still functioning, but he was separated from God. He still lived in the flesh, but was in what we like to call spiritual death, being separated from the life of God. And ever since then, mankind has been trying to get back in connection with that life. All the religions of the world have been formed trying to do that very thing, to make that connection with the life of God. Look in John chapter 4. Here's Jesus' encounter with a woman at a well. And this is a great example of that statement that I made, that there is within every person a thirst for life. What kind of life? The life of God. They may not be able to recognize it. They may not be able to tell you what it is, but they're striving for something. There's a striving going on. And boy, do we try to fill that with everything we can think of. And how many of you know the devil will help you fill it with all kinds of things? You know, you hear, and there's really nothing new going on today that hasn't been going on for, it just gets repackaged and the devil doesn't have any new tricks. You know, when I was 40 years ago, when I was a Bible school student, I'd hear Brother Hagin or different ones say that, you know, nothing's new, just live long enough, you'll see it come back again. I've lived long enough now to see a lot of those things come back again. So you young folks, okay. You may not have seen it yet, but you will. Now, one thing that we don't ever want to come back, I just want to tell you right now, polyester suits for men never come back. We don't ever want those back. Those suits, those leisure suits made out of poly, no. Just not allowed. But, you know, things come back around. And, you see people today, and they're talking about, you know, one of the statements is today, you got to tell your truth. And whatever your truth is right for you. Situational ethics is what we used to call it. I remember in middle school, what we call middle school here, we called it junior high there where I was in Illinois. But a teacher talking about situational ethics and what would you do if you're in a lifeboat, you know, and for all this time. And, you know, basically they're trying to figure out who you'd eat first. I'm not lying. That's exactly what I mean. Situational ethics. Would your ethics change based on the situation? But see, in God, there are absolutes. And every situational truth is not truth if it doesn't agree with God's word. So that's why it's so important. And we're telling our truth. We're speaking what God's word says about ourselves. The fact may be right now that you don't, maybe you, well, you should. Now, you received your healing there before when Pastor Rob did that. But, you know, you may not feel the greatest. Maybe your bank account doesn't look like it's in the greatest health, you know. But the truth of the matter is God has done something about those areas of our life. And we just need to agree with what he said and acknowledge what he's done. Now, go to John chapter 4. We'll start in verse 10. We're going to read this. Jesus is at this well here in Samaria, and this woman, he's asked her for a drink. And she wants to know why he's even talking to her, because the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that said to you, give me to drink, you would or thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Everybody say living. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? How many of you know he is greater? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Now, that thirst for life, we're going to talk about it in that sense, that thirst for life. There's a lot of temporary fixes that people try. A lot of them. But you're going to get thirsty again. But this, if you'll drink of this water, the life of God, you won't be thirsty. If you partake of it. Look what he says in verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Are we living in the reality of that living water well that's on the inside of us? Are we acknowledging it? Are we letting it make our faith effectual? Are we living in partnership with it? See, going back to what Philemon said, the life of God is in us. And quite honestly, in according to what the Word of God's saying here, we don't have need of any outside source other than the fact we live in the fallen world and we have a body that's redeemed from sickness and disease, but it's not redeemed fully from death yet. The price has been paid, but we haven't received it yet. And so we all interact with this world, and this world system, the more as you interact with it, draws away your strength. So you have to dip into that well. Any of you had water out of a good well? I mean a good well. You don't have to chill it. It comes up chilled, right? I mean, my grandparents, they farmed full time, and at their house, they had a pump outside. My dad says a long time before they had running water inside, but at the time I was born, they had water inside. But if you wanted a good, cool drink of water, you go out to that pump, and they had a little tin cup hanging there, and you go out there and get that thing pumping, you know, and it'd pump, and it'd fill that. Of course, you know, you never could just fill it up. It always overflowed because it came out so fast. But boy, you held it. Boy, that was good drinking water. Amen? Well, how much greater is that well of living water that's on the inside of us? Glory to God. Let's keep reading here because I want to talk about some other things that happened with her. The woman said to her, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. In other words, I don't want it to come to this well anymore. Give me that water. Jesus said, Go, call your husband and come again. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, You have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you're now with is not your husband. In that said thou truly. In other words, you spoke the truth when you said that you don't have a husband. In fact, you've had five husbands. Now again, what that represents to us, there's no condemnation on her, but what that represents to all of us, see, because sometimes we'll read that and go, look at her, she's had five. Well, what are you trying to quench the thirst for life with? Amen? May not be relationships. It might be drugs, alcohol, pornography. Could be all kinds of things. It could be the sin of comparing yourself with others. You're trying to stir up the life in you by looking at what somebody else has, and if you measure up, then you feel good about yourself. If you don't, then you're down. Amen. See, she's trying to fill up her life. The woman said, Sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Men and women's thirst for that missing life drives all the religions of the world. Only through Jesus can we quench that thirst. So we said this woman's effort to quench that thirst for life were given to relationships she had with men, but none of them could give life. I've heard people say, I need to get married so I'll be complete. If you're not complete before you get married, it's not going to happen after you get married. In fact, you're probably going to become more what you are when you get married. I don't know about ladies. I won't speak for you ladies, but I'm talking about the men folk. How many of you ladies found that out? No, don't testify. Thank you. But no person on this earth can complete you. There's only one completer. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I talk to people and they'll talk about, you know, they want to talk to me, and I've had over the years just lots of folks. And I'm not thinking of anyone in particular here, but you know, they've got their list of what they're looking for. And sometimes I think, well, the Lord Jesus himself wouldn't complete that list, you know. He I got a good one of my best friends. I worked for him. Man and I worked there for 6.5 years with him. He was he got married a little bit. Well, you know, you think now that I'm the age I am, when he got married, that's not that late in life. But you know, his uncle told him, he said, "Son, you're coming out of the other side of the forest now. Just grab any old stick you can find now." You've done passed up all the good trees, but he found him a good one. But that's what his uncle told him, you know, you're getting to, but see, no person will complete you, right? John 10:10, turn over there. Now, you know, there's a lot of, you ask people a lot of times, why did Jesus come? Well, so we could go to heaven. Nope. No. Well, so we could get saved. Well, but that's a product of what we're talking about here. Jesus said, "The thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that you might go to heaven." Is that what he said? That you might get saved? No. That you might get healed? No. That you might have your needs met? No. Yes, all those things are true. But he said, "I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." God sent Jesus to get the life back in man. Spiritual life, not physical life, that spiritual life that he originally had breathed in to his creation. God breathed in it. And through Christ, Jesus told Nicodemus there in John chapter 3 that he called it being born of the Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It's a spiritual life that comes into us. Now, it can and will have an effect on all of our, all parts of us, our spirit, of course, our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions, and our body. But we have to apply it to those areas. He said, "I've come that you they might have," or make it personal for you, "I've come that you might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." I love that word abundantly. If you look it up, I think even the Amplified Bible might even say it. But it's super abundant in quantity and superior in quality. Ooh, this isn't just some old life, barely hanging on, barely gets you there life. This is abundant life. In other words, the life of God. Can you even go anywhere in your thinking where you can think about God just barely getting along? I mean, just think about God. He paves his streets not with asphalt. Not like an area where, you know, we farmed all those years with chip rock and oil. You know, you had to drive, you know, get oil all over your car and everything. Not with gravel, not with any of that. Not even with concrete, not with, you know, with pure gold, so pure you can see through it. I think God's doing all right. And it's his life that he's put in us. It's absolute life. There's no death in God. He is life. Absolute life. That's what Zoe means, that Zoe life of God. So we can say this then with confidence, that the Christian is a container of the life of God. We are containers of the life of God. Now, I want to say this also. Not only are we containers of the life, we are to be participants with the life of God and distributors of the life of God. Containers of the life of God. He came that we might have life. Where is that? Remember Philemon 1:6. In Christ. All the good things are in us in Christ. Where's that life? It's in us. And it's in us because we're in Christ and Christ is in us. We're not going to have time to turn over there tonight, but in Colossians 1 and Colossians 2, if you're here last Sunday night, I read those, that the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in Christ. I heard someone make this statement, and I think they've got it on one of the slides, that God put everything we need in Christ because God knew he was going to put Christ in us. Everything we have need of is in Christ. We don't need to look for another source. It's in Christ, and he put Christ in us. You need healing in your body? It's in Christ. You need grace to do what God's called? It's in Christ. You need grace to be a godly husband and father? That's in Christ. You need grace to be a godly mother and wife? That's in Christ. You need grace to be single? That's in Christ. How many know it takes grace to do all these things? But thank God, God's not withholding his grace. And the Bible says he gives more grace. The Bible says grace can be multiplied unto us in Christ. But we have to acknowledge what he's done in us. Christ in us. Hallelujah. That fullness dwells in him. I do want to read Romans chapter 8. Skip, if you guys can skip to that one, please. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. That life is in us. How's it in us? By his Spirit. Look what it says here in Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Quicken is an old English word that means make alive. I like the Amplified. Shall give life. There you go. Shall give life. That's what I had given him anyway. And that if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. That life comes through his Spirit, and his Spirit's in us. Well, I thought you said Christ is in us. He is. Well, now you're saying the Spirit's in us. He is. Let's just say it this way. God's in us. We're in him. I see some folks, they want to get all technical and start dividing up the minutiae of the word like that, and you're going to miss it. Just accept the fact God's in you. And you're in him. Well, where does he start and I begin and where, does it matter? He's in me. Glory to God. You know, I heard a man talking about this years ago, talking about that every morning, he said he was trying to get a revelation, he struggled with it. So every morning he'd look in the mirror and says, there stands somebody whom God lives in. God's in that person I'm looking at. And it was them. They're talking to themselves, looking in the mirror. God's in them. And then they'd change it. God's in you. Then after a while, it's God's in me. Not the person in the mirror, me. See, sometimes we'll point, well, God's in them and God's working through them. Well, God's for you too. He's in you. Acknowledging that. Let me end with this tonight, John chapter 17. Hallelujah. John 17. Here, Jesus, this is called some have called this the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus. And in John's gospel, it's the last discourse of Jesus other than his trial, his betrayal, trial, and then after his resurrection. But he's praying here, and later on he says that he's not just praying for those that were present, he's praying for all those who believe on him through their words, which all of us eventually, we could trace it back to. If it hadn't been for these eyewitnesses, we wouldn't have believed either, because it's come down to us through that. And so he's praying, And he's talking about the being able to give eternal life to all those that he'd given him. But look at verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. To acknowledge, to participate with, and to make your faith active and energized based on what's on the inside of you, it's going to come through knowing God. Because He is life. God is life. And to know Him is to have life eternal. So that's why Peter said that grace and peace would be multiplied to you through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, through gaining that knowledge of Him. So in order to know God, we have to spend time with Him. Number one, through His Word. Spend time in His Word. Second of all, spend time praying to God, talking to God, conversing with God. Not just you talking. You know, sometimes the Spirit-filled folks, they get to praying in tongues. That's all they do. Pray, and they're done. Well, what if God wants to say something to you? I'm not talking about an outside voice here, you know. Don't be listening. But I'm talking about on the inside, where God speaks to all in our spirit. What if God wants to show you something, tell you something? Conversation should be a two-way situation. The Bible says if you are the child of God, you're led by the Spirit of God. Amen? He wants to lead us and guide us with His Word, through prayer, being led by Him, taking everything back to Him, and getting to know Him. See, when I read His Word and I listen to it, it's amazing to me that when God talks to me, how much He sounds like His Word. Now, I don't know, I'm not saying that I have exclusive rights on what God's voice sounds like, because God's voice sounds like whatever when I read the Word, and I don't know whose voice, if that's me, I don't know what it's in there, but we've got an internal voice. You know that internal, not eternal, but internal voice. So ever how that sounds when you're reading God's Word, I don't know. But it's amazing to me how much when God on the inside, it sounds just like that. So you have to develop your relationship with God so you recognize His voice. How many of you remember before we had caller ID? Remember when you could recognize who was calling you based on their voice? Why? You knew them. And you could fellowship with them through your joint recognition of one another. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that was the good. I like caller ID. And I like voicemail. If you don't show up on my caller ID, you're going to voicemail. And if you don't leave a voicemail, you're not getting a return call. Brother Dad. I don't have time to take all those calls. Most of them aren't from anybody I know, right? And if you want to get hold of me, you just leave your message. I'll get back to you. Amen. Acknowledging every good thing that is in you. Now, hey, let me end with this tonight. As our prayer team comes on down, if you guys want to go ahead and come on down. Let me end with this thought tonight. So much of the time, the world tries to lead us to acknowledge our circumstances, our trials, our tribulations, and acknowledge that rather, and this is where the idea, rather than focus on what's inside of us already, right? You know, if you go to the doctor and you get a diagnosis, let's say it's not good according to the natural. As a Christian, we can say, okay, thank you for your diagnosis. That's the facts. But facts change. That clock back there has seconds on it. Every second, the fact of what time it is changes. Facts will change. The truth never changes because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He is the truth. All right? Now, here's the statement I want to make to you on that. The consistent application of the truth will change the facts. But it's consistent. So you have to consistently acknowledge the good thing that's in you. I don't feel well, but the healing power of God, the life of God is in me. I thank you, Father, the life of God is in me working, affecting the healing and cure. Sickness, you can't stay in my body. Virus, you can't stay in my body. Disease, you can't stay in my body. Pain, you can't stay in my body because the life of God is in me. I'm drawing from the well. The life is in me. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Acknowledging every good thing that's in you. Stand up on your feet if you would, please. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God. Just thank him right now for every good. Just thank him. Tell him something good that's in you. Thank him for it. Father, thank you for all the good that your life has brought to us. Thank you for your life being in us. That well of living water springing up into everlasting life. The everlasting Zoe life of God is in us. It's in us in abundance. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. It's making alive this mortal body, quickening us, giving us strength. No sickness, no disease, no plague, no pandemic can come near us because the life of God just drives it out in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, that that very life will also help give us peace of mind. No depression, no oppression can stay when we acknowledge the good things that are in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, we may not look so great on the outside, but I'm telling you, on the inside, we're beautiful. Acknowledge that. Amen. You know, quit walking into your closet and say, "Oh, my clothes are ugly. I don't have anything to wear." Well, if that's what you believe and say, that's what you're going to have. Ugly clothes that don't fit. Amen. I don't know why I said that, but I did. I could act all spiritual. Somebody in here need to hear that. I think I just wanted to say it. I don't know if anybody wanted to hear it or not. Hey, if you need prayer for anything tonight, come on down. Ladies to the ladies, men to the men. They're going to pray with you according to the Word of God. Why? Because we have found out that's where answers come from. They're found in the Word of God. All right? Don't forget, tomorrow we will have our prayer group that prays for all the international Ramas around the world. We'll do that over in SDC 2 in room 201. The east door should be open. If they're not, I'll stand there. I'll be the doorman and let you in. But if I can get in, I think I can. I think I still have a key to that. But we'll see you there tomorrow. But then also, the offices are closed. Call the security number if you have an emergency. Pastor Rob will come to the rescue. Glory to God. Amen. And then don't forget Wednesday night. Rhema students, I'll see you all this week at registration. God bless you. Tell somebody you love them tonight. You can be dismissed.